Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. This gospel passage, which we just heard our Lord was speaking, as they had just left the cenacle and they were en route to the Garden of Gethsemane, where our Lord would begin his agony and his passion. And our Lord is giving what is known as his final will and testament to his disciples, to his apostles, as they are walking towards the garden, which spans three chapters, actually four. This is chapter 14, goes all the way through chapter 17, but anyways. And here, our Lord speaks of his leaving them, he's going to the Father, and he's preparing a place for them, etc. And he tells them an interesting phrase here: you know the way already. You know the way. And it's Thomas first who asks, well, Lord, show us. Master, actually, this word used here. Master, show us the way. And our Lord responds with one of the most famous phrases we have: I am the way, the truth, and the life. We do it through him, by the merits, his merit, the merits of his suffering on the cross. Right? But we go back to the Father through him. And then another point here. Now it's Philip that intervenes, because our Lord tells us, now you have seen the Father. Now that you've been with me, you've seen what I've done, you have seen the Father. And what does Philip say? Well, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Show us the Father. And our Lord's famous rebuke: have I been with you all this time? Now he's been with them 3 years. Solidly, together. They've been together. They have seen all the miracles he's worked. They have heard him preach and what he has been saying. And he's been saying over and over again, I am one with the Father. The Father, I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. You read St. John's Gospel. It's there in every chapter. From after John's prologue, all the way through to the Lord's Passion when he's before Pilate, each chapter, that theme comes up. He repeats it. I am one with the Father. The Father is in me, and I am in the Father. I have come in obedience to the Father. It's there over and over again. And here the apostles seem to have not gotten it yet. They still don't get it. He is one with the Father, therefore you see him, you see the Father, you already know the Father, through him, because the point he's making is he's God. He's one with the Father because he's God. But he, the Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and he's also one of us, he's man. So then he speaks to them of that. And then he tells us something else here, very strong, right? Well, because he speaks of the works he's been doing, and we've seen it over and over again. You can read all the Gospels and see that, how many miracles he's worked, almost always as a reward for faith. The words I speak, and they've often he's, you know, we heard it said, oh, he preaches with such authority. Who is this? Where did he get all this? They know him. The people know him as a carpenter, the son of a carpenter. He wouldn't be educated. How did he get all this? How can he preach with such authority, etc.? All right? You heard what I've spoken. You've seen the works I've done, but you're even going to do greater works because I go to the Father. What is he saying here? And here's where we come to the central theme of today's liturgy. Because by our going out and preaching what we already know, here's the disciples who have already, or the apostles who have already seen and experienced and witnessed what our Lord is doing and who our Lord is. Remember, it was Peter who spoke out for all of them, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. which at which point the Lord gave him the name Peter, rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. Peter will be his representative. All right? You're going to do, if you believe in me, you're going to do the works I do, and even greater ones. We saw this also in the second reading, St. Peter himself witnessing here. If you don't, right? You know, if you don't believe, well, it's you yourself who condemn yourself. The stones will fall upon you and crumble you, right? But if we believe in him, we're going to do these works too. What is that telling us? And here we come. Here's the central theme here. It's priesthood. All right? We who are ordained have received the sacrament of holy orders. All right? We have the ministerial priesthood. But you, all of us who are baptized, starting with baptism, also share in the priesthood in a certain way. You are going to go out and evangelize. That is what we are called to do. All of us. What witness to the fact that our Lord is God. He has suffered and died for us. He has risen from the dead. He it is who will save us. He it is who will bring us to everlasting life with him. With him. And he emphasizes that here. With him. To the Father. Right? That's the share that every one of us has through our baptism, and even more with our confirmation. Right? Those are the three sacraments, I just mentioned all three, that have the indelible mark within us, give us an indelible mark. It actually introduces a change in us. We become something we were not. With baptism, we become children of God. Right? Which we were not before, because we're not in the friendship of God without baptism. But with baptism, we become children of God. Then with confirmation, so somebody at baptism generally professes our faith for us, particularly for baptized infants. Now at confirmation, we become the adults. Now we go out and profess our faith ourselves. We become soldiers of Christ. So we become again something we were not before. Now with holy orders, we become a share in that high priest of God. We who will receive that sacrament have a share in the high priest of God, of our Lord. We become something we were not before. We become the Alter Christus. Right? But bearing in mind, it is Christ who is working through us always. Right? But the main central point there is by which that share in that priesthood, we are called to evangelize. Witness to the gospel, witness to Christ, that he is the one who is saving us from our sins. And we need to be one with him. In fact, that will be, now there are two points here. As he goes on, they're walking towards the garden, they're going to go through a vineyard. I am the vine, you are the branches. All right. In fact, I think. Okay, it's not there, but that's what he tells them. All right? You are one with me, and I'm one with you. Without me, without the vine, the branches, of course, just die. They can't survive. But with the vine, united with the vine, they do, and they grow, and they produce fruit. You see? But it's with him, one with him, and that's going to be our Lord's final prayer. Towards the end of these four chapters, that is the responsorial psalm. No, it isn't, but it's in there, I think, somewhere, perhaps in the responsorial psalm. All right. He prays that we will be one with him as he and the Father are one. Where I am, they will be too. That shows his love for us, the intensity of his love. That he would even give us, that's one of the other things he points out here in this whole long passage here. All right? no man has a greater sign of his love than that he laid down his life for his friends. But our Lord will lay down his life for all of us. Anyone and everyone who will accept him. Right? And so there is our call, again, I say, to evangelize, to witness to this love of God for us, to witness of all that our Lord is risen from the dead, and it is he who will save us, bring us to everlasting life with him. It is through him we can do the works we do. The ones he was doing now, he's allowing us to do it as well. All right? We may not see the work, the effects of it, the fruits, and we don't need to, but they are certainly there. Otherwise, we'd be puffed up with pride and say, look what I can do. Nope. It's not you who does it, not I who does it. It's Christ working through us, always. And he is, if we will let him. Let us, in our prayers, in our work, in everything we think, do, and say, do it for the love of him and allow him to work through us and bear much fruit. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.